Before we start our next session, you've seen Sasaruna, you've heard her, but I think some of you may not know who she really is. Just to give you a little bit of background, Sister Aruna, or her full name is Aruna Ladva, is a personal development trainer, and she's been a teacher of meditation for a long time. She was born in Kenya, educated in England, worked in Canada, lived in Hong Kong and New York, and so she really brings a combination of the East and West in her teaching of meditation. Yesterday we heard how Dadi Gulsa came into the Brahma Kumaris when she was 8 years old. So we have another 8 year old. Sister Aruna had her first meditation experience when she was also 8 years old. So since then she has been studying and teaching Raj Yoga meditation. In her early years, she was the assistant to Dadi Janki and Sister Jayanti in London. And this is where she received intense spiritual training. I think you couldn't have better teachers to teach you than Dadi Janki and Sister Jayanti. So she really had that opportunity to have a very strong foundation. Since then, Sister Aruna has helped in the establishment of the Brahma Kumaris Raj Yoga Centers, meditation centers in Canada, Turkey, and the Middle East. Currently, she's based in Kuwait. Sister Aruna.
Okay, so let's start. Thank you, but don't think we needed that long-winded announcement. Okay, so today we thought we'd do this session and get you all on the same page, because as you know, all of you should have come having done the basic meditation course, right? So basic meditation course is how to meditate, soul consciousness, God consciousness, karma, and eight powers. So let's just run through that very quickly. And if there's any questions, feel free to ask. Our time has been cut back a little bit, but that doesn't matter. We'll try our best. So yeah, let's talk about meditation. What is meditation? I hope you're able to see the board. Can you see? Or maybe anyway the translators will have to. Okay. No, but even the angle, I'm thinking the angle is not. Can you see that? So meditation, right? Meditation comes from the Latin word medira. M-E-D-I-R-E, which actually means to heal. So if you think about it, meditation is really a tool for healing, what? The soul or the body? Soul. And we know that in turn, of course, the body is healed, right? But initially, we focus on the soul. And all of us are actually, you can say, wounded, fractured, broken, hurt, right? It's the soul that is actually hurt. Even actually, imagine when you've had an accident of some kind. It's more the emotional trauma that is difficult to cope with. Because you get into this consciousness of why me? Why did it happen? Or how did it happen? Or what's my karma? You know? And we can't just accept it as an act that this car collided with this car because of some practical reasons. We make these things very personal to us. And that's how we take pain. So a lot of the healing that needs to take place, even when we're physically sick, is really in the soul. And this has really been my journey on this path, that as I am looking at myself honestly, truthfully, as I'm facing my stuff, my issues, I know that I'm actually healing the soul. And once we become healed, the other side of that is that we are strong, we are powerful. Right? Weak as opposed to powerful. So healing, tell me, what does healing need? When you are sick, what kind of conditions do you need? Need knowledge of the medicine. You might need some medicine. What else? Rest. Attention, huh? An expert who will tell you, maybe a master, yeah? Quarantine sometimes. Peace, solitude. Yeah. And if you think about it, these are all the things that we are doing with Raj Yoga and the Raj Yoga lifestyle. We try to find time for solitude. We take some knowledge, like the Dadis are our senior resource for knowledge. So we take that knowledge, we try to go away, we think about it, so that that knowledge stays there most of the time as opposed to other waste or negative things or thoughts. We sit in solitude. We need to take time out, right? We want peace. When we want to heal, we don't like too much noise. We don't like sound. Even when we get relatives visiting us, we're happy when they're gone when we're sick, because we find the peace, we find the stillness. So this is exactly what the kind of environment that we're trying to create in meditation is, this of peace and stillness and calm. And not just the external, but in my mind too. As I was saying in the commentary earlier, it's not just that I am peace. It's not just that I am peace, but I am at peace. Think about it, there's a difference. Because I've learned this difference over my many years of making lots of mistakes. That it's not just that I have to keep telling myself I'm peaceful, but when it comes to me and my interaction with other people. Is that good? Yeah. Oh, even better. Is that good? Okay, thank you. So yeah, as I was saying, as I then start to interact with other people, I realize that I actually have to begin to be at peace with my life. So the choices I make, I have to be at peace with those choices. For example, you've all heard about now vegetarian food, vegetarian diet. If you make that choice, you have to be at peace with that choice. It's no point being a vegetarian, but then in meditation, you know, the meat is pulling, or the fish is pulling, or, you know, that restaurant is pulling. You're not at peace at that moment. Do you see? There's a difference. You might be peaceful, but you're not at peace because you're in conflict. Same with relationships. Am I at peace with everyone? We'll come to that in a minute when we come to karma. Anyway, so yeah, the whole path, the whole journey of Raj... Oops. But yeah. The permanent... Yeah, but they're permanent. Whiteboard, okay. It's a good job I wrote some good words. Okay. Right, lost my point. Yes, meditation. Can you see that? Okay. Meditation is actually a movement from body consciousness, or a very, let's say, mundane physical consciousness, to a soul consciousness, a subtle spiritual consciousness. And this actually, you can say, kind of penetrates the whole of your lifestyle. So meditation is not like going to church. You know, every Sunday, or praying just for 5 minutes in the morning, or you can't be a hypocrite. As a spiritual person, you can't be a hypocrite. You have to really begin to live what you believe and what you think. And that's what I'm saying. This kind of thinking that I'm not a body, I'm something beyond the body, with time, you know, you get to a point like the dadis where they really are living and breathing this consciousness. That I am a soul in the body. Not that I, the body, have a soul. No, I am a soul that's resident in this body. This is my vehicle. And why we say Raj Yoga, right? What does Raja mean? King, yeah. King or the master. And yoga? Union, yeah. So as I get in touch more and more with my higher self, my purer self, my, you can say, the core of who I am, then I become the master over myself. That means every thought I make, everything I say is in alignment with my mastery. The mastery is that everything I think, everything I speak, and everything I act is in alignment. That's how you would define a master. Your thoughts, words, deeds are in alignment. Not you think something, but you do something else. That's weakness. That's you being a slave. It's not a master. So Raj Yoga meditation is about getting in touch with the right types of thoughts. So let's just talk about that now. What are the right types of thoughts? Actually, Dee, can you help me with this? This is Vienni. She lives with me in Kuwait. My assistant on all levels. If you keep wiping from time to time. So, movement of thought. So what kinds of thoughts should we have, okay? The idea is, I call it the five P's, right? For you to remember easily. The types of thoughts that we need to be creating now are pure, peaceful, positive, powerful, and purposeful. You can sit here. Pure, peaceful, positive, powerful, and purposeful thoughts. This now has to begin to become my criteria for thinking. If there is anything negative, if there is anything waste, if there is anything unnecessary, let's just talk about waste for a minute. You know, what might be essential for one person will be waste for another person. True? Right? Some of your friends might have told you, why do you need to go and sit on the mountain for 6 days? That's a waste of time. Or why do you need to sit and meditate for 2 hours? That's a waste of time. And we might think that, why does somebody need to be in the gym bodybuilding for 2 hours? That's a waste of time. Or sitting eating a meal for 3 hours? That's a waste of time. So waste is a very relative term, isn't it? So we can't judge, really. We can't judge another person. We can only judge ourselves. And that's where, again, I need to turn the mirror onto me. And I need to ask myself, where am I wasting my resources? My resources are my breath, my time, my thoughts, my wealth, many things, my possessions. Where am I wasting this energy? Okay? So we moved away from waste. And we focus on being pure, peaceful, positive, powerful, purposeful. Now let me emphasize here that in meditation, don't try to make effort to move away the dark or the negative. Because you can spend a whole lifetime trying to get over something negative by trying to focus on it. So you might say, I don't want to get angry, I don't want to get angry, I don't want to get angry. And more and more, what are you doing? You are actually reinforcing that trait. Because what the mind sees is actually the image of anger. The mind doesn't recognize the don't or the not. So what we do here, and something that you might see as you're living and working with us, is we really do try and make a concerted effort to see, you know, virtue in everyone. Try to see the positive in everything that's happening. Because that's what we want to absorb, and that's what we want to take in. Because that's what I want to keep as an impression in me. I don't want to take the negative impressions. I see them, but it's not something I want as a deep impression in the soul. So this again needs a mindset change, it needs a perspective change, it needs an attitude shift, where really I make that effort to say, no, I'm going to see the positive. I'm going to take the positive. So in meditation, yeah, use these as your basis for practicing meditation. So let's just talk about the method for meditation. It's a very simple method, and I call it the KG method, actually, so that new beginners can have like basic steps, okay? And then after that, you can get more creative, really. I mean, we don't follow this. It's like when you're, you know, trying to learn to drive a car, and the instructor says, well, push this in and move that, and but then after a while, you don't even think, right? You just do everything automatically. So these are the steps, and then after that, you won't even have to think. So the first is initiation. Okay, and in initiation, let's say we decide to have a thought about peace. Say that we want to experience peace. You can fill that cloud. It's a cloud, by the way. You can choose to fill that cloud with any quality. Okay? So let's just say, for namesake, that it's peace. I want to experience peace at the end of this meditation. Now, in initiation, there's a few things that you have to be aware of. Firstly, really, make your environment a space that is, of course, calm and, like, get into a space, like get into a room or a corner where there is some silence. So don't sit and try and meditate in a room that has a TV blasting. Or your kids have got the stereo on. It's going to be difficult. You can try, but it's going to be difficult. So find yourself a corner, a space where you don't have to make that extra effort to cut out the sound around you. Okay? Body. Like, you have to be rested. Or at least fed. Like, the body should also not pull your mind or your thoughts. So, in the evening, we suggest really, you know, feed the stomach, have half an hour rest if you want, and then try to practice meditation. Of course, the best time to have meditation is the early morning, and I saw quite a few of you here for that, and that was great. So, yes, best time is when you've rested, you know, the body's not pulling on the soul, and you take that time out to meditate. As you heard also this morning, we actually practice open-eye meditation. And a very nice example that we give is, you know, when you're trying to drive a car, do you drive with your eyes closed? What will happen if you try to drive with your eyes closed? Accidents, yeah. So it's the same here. You see, we want to be able to have such an experience of meditation that we can actually get up, walk away, and we are still carrying that experience with us. Some of you may find it difficult, and that's understandable, but more and more, you try to keep opening your eyes. Close them if you have to, but keep opening them. And that's why we have this focal point. This focal point is symbolic of I, the soul, a living energy, a point of light. So what I'm doing is I'm focusing on that point, and it's a reflection of me. I know that I am that form of light. So think about it. As I'm focusing on that, I've already, just as I'm focusing on peace, I've already moved away from other thoughts. You haven't had to make the effort to move away from other things because you've zoomed in on focusing on that. You want to concentrate on that. So you've moved your attention away from other things. and it's the same here. When you actually have that experience of soul consciousness, as I said, really you can get up, walk away, and it still stays with you, you know, for some time. And then you have to go and replenish yourself again. That's why we have these traffic controls where we stop for just a few minutes, because we have to keep replenishing that stock. Okay, so first thought, initiation is I sit down, I find a place, a corner, whatever, and I say, I ask myself, okay, which quality do I want to experience? So here we're going to experience peace. Second is actually what we say meditation, the stage of meditation, where I am focusing on that thought, but thinking about it more. Okay? Yeah? So now I've zoomed in on peace, but I am brainstorming peace. So what is peace? Why peace? Who peace? Do I know anybody who's peaceful? You know, what type of peace? Because there could be a lot of types of peace. There's peace that is absence of war. There is peace of nature. There's peace because, you know, I've just had a resolution with my husband and, you know, just got happily divorced. You know, there's different kinds of peace of mind, isn't there? So, peace is, again, a very relative term. But we want to experience the real core, soul-conscious peace. Real core means really what is the essence of my being. And how do I know that that is me? Tell me, how do I know that I am peace? We all keep telling you, right? I'm peace, I'm peace. Feel it? Comfort. You feel good. You feel good, the feel good factor. Relax. Stable. Huh? No problem. Yeah. But also, we know we are peace because we want more of it. In other words, we can't live without it. We can't live without something that we are. We can't live without water, right? We can't live without air. It's there for the survival of the body. So in the same way, peace, love, bliss, truth, happiness, purity, power, all these are my basic traits. This is me. Can I go buy this in a supermarket? See, that's the thing. Sometimes we think, I want peace. I need to find some peace. But it's like we're looking for it in a supermarket. It's not for sale. So this was a very big realization I had when I was young, that actually everything that I need is right here inside of me. And I'm getting in touch with it. I'm giving myself the time and space in meditation to get in touch with these qualities. Okay? Let's move on and make it clear. So third is concentration. So where I am zooming in on, say, one aspect. So I've been brainstorming. And then I zoom in even more. So why peace? Why do I, Aruna, need peace in my life? So I zoom in, you see? You're zooming in one aspect, one angle of peace. So naturally, you have naturally actually gone into the depth of that quality. After that, stage four is realization. Again, realization, real eyes, truth. Real eyes. You're seeing yourself with real eyes. Absolute honesty. And in this state, actually, it feels like you're not thinking, but it It's like you're not thinking, but you are actually the embodiment of that quality. So there's no separation between, oh, this is a thought of peace. So initially you have the thought, I am peace. But here, I am peace. Like this has become your experience. No one can refute that. And every time you put a different quality here and you experience that quality, more and more you become more resolute in that belief that I am light, I'm peace, I'm purity, I'm bliss. So really, if somebody comes and tries to tell you otherwise, you say, no, I am peace, I'm love, I'm kindness. But this is a realization that you have to come to terms with yourself. See, I can't tell her, I can't tell you, I can't tell anyone you are peace. You have to go and experience that I am peace. And then once you have that experience, you know, you cannot behave in another way. You change. Your thoughts change. Your vision changes. Because you have changed something inside. You have shifted something inside. Is that clear? So start with these processes to begin with, and as I said, with time, you can get more creative, which means there's other pieces of knowledge, and we begin to work with those. And oh, sorry. Sorry. Initiation, meditation, concentration, realization. Okay? Okay, let's move on to the second lesson. Okay, next lesson was soul. Soul, right? What is the soul? So for those of you who've taken this lesson, just very quickly, the soul is an infinite point of light or energy. When this body, like yesterday Brother Ibrahim was talking about a live body versus a dead soul, or a dead body versus a live soul, right? So what he's really meaning is, how much of us are really living in that consciousness that I am a soul? Because this body is really not as healthy as it used to be several decades ago, several centuries ago. Because the matter is becoming more and more impure. But the soul can be revived with spiritual energy. So the soul is eternal, it's infinite, it's immortal. And this was one piece of truth. Let me just share that experience. So I remember my mother, she used to come from the center, and every day she would share one or two points that she heard in the center. And one day she came home and she said, Anu, look, everything that you see around you is going to be destroyed. But she said, the one thing that's never destroyed is the soul. And I thought, And I remember that whole week, I told my best friend, I said, why don't we go around trying to look for something, you know, that's immortal, that's eternal? Because my mom has said this and I don't really believe her. So even now, look around you. Everything that's being created is going to die, it's going to finish, it's going to perish at some point. It's material. And the one thing that never perishes is the soul. And really for me, that was my wake-up moment. And I thought, wow, my mom's becoming clever. I thought, what are they teaching her there, you know? I want to go and learn. And so that's when I started to... I actually also never took the meditation course. I just started to go every day. So yeah, this peace of truth has given birth to many souls, that I am eternal. I will never die. No fire can burn me, no water can drown me, no knife can cut me. I am eternal. Okay? I won't go into the depth of this because I'm going to cover a bit more of this in that early meditation lesson at 6:30 when I'm doing that. So I'm not going to go more into that. Let's just talk now about karma. No, Supreme Soul. Sorry, let's follow the sequence. Supreme Soul. So just as I am a point of light, the Supreme, God, Almighty, Divine, Allah, whatever name you want to call him or her, is also an infinite point of energy. But of course there's a difference between me and God. And God is the source. You know, we often say God is brighter than a thousand suns. We say God is the ocean, whereas we might be the rivers. And really, every soul on earth thinks about God at some point in their life, even if they call themselves an atheist. In fact, there was one documentary that they did, the brothers here, or was it Australia? I think Australia, right, Heather? Australia did that, yeah. What was it? Chasing God, yeah. They did a documentary, might be for sale downstairs. And they did this documentary, and they were interviewing everybody on their beliefs about God. So they interviewed an atheist. And so he was making his argument. And then something happened, like something fell, you know, in the back. And he said, "Oh my God." And luckily they captured it, you know, on camera. So really, every person at some point in their life is going to remember God, because there is a memory in the soul that God is somebody I can rely on, that I can trust, that God loves me. In fact, I really feel lucky that because of my mom starting this meditation, I really grew up with the belief about God as being the ocean of love. And this has really been my experience since childhood, that God is not one who punishes. God is not there with a stick in the clouds waiting for you to do something wrong. But he is just an embodiment of love. He teaches with love. He has to. If he's God, I used to tell my mom, if it's God, he has to be within the parameters that I set. And one of them is, he is love. Okay? So one of the beautiful things about I've kind of given up on the markers because I'll come to it when we do karma. One of the beautiful things about this path of meditation is you can have a very live relationship with God. And we make that relationship even more intimate by calling him Baba, the father, or Mama, the mother. As you see, the soul does not have a gender. The gender is once we come into the body. But the soul has no gender. Just for ease of speaking, we say he. But he can also be she, my mother. And so there's a reason why we need to tune in to this Supreme. Because we alone, trying to use our power, we are not full. We can only, you know, take so much from people on this level. We might have a conversation, we're happy, do some shopping, we're happy, have a haircut, we're happy, eat some food, we're happy, travel, we're happy, but that's limited happiness. And it's taking from one another or from the environment or matter on this level. And it's not sufficient. It's not enough. Whereas as we connect horizontally, vertically, I was waiting to see if somebody was going to stop me. As I connect vertically, I'm connecting with this force and I'm taking power from God. So in order to tune into that frequency, right, I need to remove this dress, this costume of body consciousness, because God is a soul. That's why he's like the least known, the least understood, because nobody's seen him. And even I haven't seen him as such. But I have felt God, and I felt the presence of God in my life. And still I don't consider myself a religious person. But God has been very much a part of my life as I've grown up. So to me, it's really this very loving relationship with the Supreme. And for me, it is about sitting peacefully, connecting with this source, and taking power. And the power is, again, this ability to think the highest thoughts. The difference between a weak and a powerful person is really their ability or inability to think great thoughts, powerful thoughts. You develop a powerful mind by creating powerful thoughts. And that power you get from the Supreme to be able to do that. So where does he live, right? Again, our understanding is that God lives beyond this matter of the five elements. He lives far, far away, beyond the pull of gravity, beyond the astral plane, beyond the sun, the moon, and the stars, and there is this infinite region of light. Just light, nothing else, just light. Pure, golden, orange light. And that's where the Supreme Soul resides. And again, if you think about it, really, when I meditate, I want to be free from the pull of this world. And that's what gives me deep peace, an experience of deep peace, that I'm not pulled by these physical energies. I'm not pulled by the senses of my body. I'm much beyond that. When you have created that separation of I and mine, then you're in a state of soul consciousness. Then you can begin to fill the soul with power, with powerful energy. Okay? So again, God is only a thought away. The moment you think, you can travel, you can go beyond. Doesn't need much analysis. When you're trying to create a new relationship, you have to analyze the person. What do you have to do when you meet a new friend? You're trying to get to know them. What do you do? Find a common denominator. Smile. Okay. And God will smile back. Know their name. Feeling, but also simply you spend more time with them. Well, you just spend more time with that person. As you spend more time with someone, you get to know them. So that's why we have to spend more time in meditation to get to know God. As we get to know Him, and then we can start using Him in our lives. Huh? You can see Him in your meditation. I see God in my meditation. With my third eye. Yeah. But again, these are words, Yaqub, you see? Seeing for me is the feeling. When we're talking about the experience of the third eye, through understanding, I'm seeing and I'm feeling. That's why I'm saying we really have to go beyond everything the body, the physical body is doing. Now we're not seeing just what we're seeing with these two eyes. We're seeing something beyond. You know, as a spiritual person, you start to see the significance behind something. Like it's no coincidence that you're all here, you know? You're here for a reason. You might think, oh, I booked the ticket and they invited me and so I'm here. So, there you go. No, there's a deeper reason to why you're here. Only you know that. In the same way, if something's happening, an accident or something, there's a reason to that. If you win the lottery, there's a reason to that. Okay? So now we start to see and perceive everything from a third dimension, a third perspective. There's a reason behind everything. Oh, great, look. Clean slate. All right, let's move to karma. I think get rid of those other markers there. Okay, karma has now turned into a philosophy. Right? The philosophy of karma. Okay. Karma literally means action, actually. But like I said, it's turned into a belief. And again, it's in our present day and age, it's turned into a derogatory meaning, which means like more of a negative meaning, whereas karma literally just started as action and reaction. But now when people use the word karma, mostly it's action and negative reaction. Do you see? It wasn't like that. It's just that we have so much karma accumulated in the soul that most of it is purging as negative karma. Okay? So karma, let's define that. One, as you sow, so shall you reap. Yeah. Okay? Two, I think it's Newton's third law of thermodynamics. Every action? Yeah, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Okay, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Now here, let's just clarify that. It's not that if I hit you, you have to hit me back. Or if I take from you, you have to take from me back. That's not the equal. The equal is in intensity. The intensity with which you've caused pain, that intensity will come back to you from somewhere, somehow. The intensity to which you have given happiness, that will come back to you at some point in some time. So equal means you will get back what you have given out. But I don't necessarily, if you've given me pain, I don't necessarily have to be the one to give you back pain. Because I might choose to be a good person. I might choose to be a nice person. Do you see? Why should I create negative karma? So I don't need to be your judge or the one to give you the sentence. I know that somewhere, I believe in karma enough to know that somewhere, somehow, justice will be done. Yeah, again, I mean, if you believe in reincarnation, yes, it can happen over several lifetimes. But even if you don't believe in reincarnation, this theory still applies because what I do today will affect my tomorrow. Even in Islam, you talk about you have to create good deeds to go to heaven or to hell. Right? If you do good deeds, you go to heaven. If you do bad deeds, you go to hell. So that's in a way reincarnation. Yes? Yeah, it can come back to you in the same birth. So I don't want to get into reincarnation now, but what I want to say is really just think about this concept of as I do, so I will reap. Okay, as I do, so I will reap. Okay? So what have I done that I'm reaping today? Because again, we complain. We think, why am I in this situation? Why am I not getting this? Why am I not having that? Why has that one got that? And I'm constantly comparing. I'm not happy. I'm not content. But hang on a minute, did I plant those seeds yesterday? In fact, we have this little garden now that I'm constantly telling them, we want to plant vegetables, I want vegetables. But are we planting them? So we have to plant the seeds if I want the vegetables in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months. If I want love in my life, I have to plant the seeds of love. If I want honesty and truth, I have to plant the seeds of honesty and truth. If I want respect, I need to plant the seeds of respect. It's not just going to come from nowhere. If you want to reap or pick, right, you have to have planted it at some point. So those who are getting it have planted it at some point. You know, be at peace with this knowledge that everybody is getting what they have planted at some point. And I'm getting what I have planted. And if I want something else, fine, let's start creating a new landscape now. Really, it's as simple as that. Let me start doing the things that I want to see more of in my life. And the third here is law of cause and effect. Okay? That there cannot be any effect without a cause. Okay, so if I throw this, Vianney? See? That's an effect because this was the cause. You see? So again, keep that in mind. Something is happening today because of a cause somewhere else. So in a way, it's cyclical. Cause, effect, cause, effect, cause, effect. No. Would you wipe this, please? Okay. So let's talk about how we settle karma, because that's important. As you've been hearing me say, we have been doing many things in ignorance, and this question comes up many times. What if I have done something in ignorance? Do I still have to pay the fine? Do I? Should I have to? Who says yes, I should have to pay the fine? Huh? You will by the nature of the law? You shouldn't have to, you're saying. Okay. Any other answers? Huh? Okay, good point, yeah. So I was coming to that, yeah? I mentioned it earlier, intensity. Intensity also implies intention. Right. But I'm still not understanding. So you've done harm to me and then you feel guilty and you're trying to get over the guilt, right?
No, not guilty.
Oh, detox it. Okay, so this is what we're going to talk about, how we settle that. That's called settlement. When I've done something and whether I realize it or not, but that account is there, okay? And so how do I settle that account? It's really like, I think in at least the Asian cultures, Middle East, hisab kitab, right? There's an account of give and take, okay? Yes? Okay. So the sister's saying, I can be hurt, not because of something I've done, because of the fault of somebody else. And my answer would be, why have you found yourself in front of that person? It's like a test. But there's a reason again why you're in front of that. Why you in front of that person and not somebody else? Yes, somewhere we've planted the seed, somewhere we have attracted that lesson. See it as a lesson. Somewhere we have attracted that lesson to our life. Yeah, it's deep, but think about it a bit more. We have found ourselves in certain situations because somewhere we have made certain choices. We cannot be here today like all of you. I'm sure it's not just you made a decision to come here, but you were already thinking about spirituality. You were already maybe thinking about, oh, I want to practice meditation. Oh, I want to be with an organization that practices these kinds of things or thoughts. Right? Something was already bubbling. Yeah, see, okay, I don't want to get into this too much because Sister Shilu is going to take this topic. There's a separate lesson for karma, okay? So let's keep these details for that. But for now, really, I just want to tell you this portion because, again, this will help you. Reason why we talk about karma in meditation is because, again, you cannot be at peace, at deep peace, if you have not settled most of your karma. At the end, all of your karma. But you have to settle most of your karma to be at peace with yourself. If you are in conflict, if you hate somebody, actually whether you hate or whether you love, it's the same energy because they're still pulling your mind. I mean, extreme love, you know? Not spiritual love. So that's why we talk about karma. Because I want to create the most purest, elevated karma. Let me add that one of the reasons why everybody here works in the way that they do is because their karma is with God. They're doing it for God. They're not doing it for me, I'm not doing it for you, they're not, you know. We're not operating on this level. Each one of us who are working here as a family are doing it for God and myself. The moment I think I'm doing for you, I get trapped. Because then I'll want something. Oh, is she appreciating me? Did she like what I did? Yeah. So I do it for me and I do it for God and I do my best and that's it. Are we operating like that at home or at work? No, not all the time, right? So that's why we're not at peace, okay? So just quickly, this, imagine this is your soul, a square soul, credit, debit, hisab kitab, right? Account of the soul. So, these are all your good deeds, right? You've been a really good person for a long time. So you've accumulated a lot of pluses. And then, oops, it's outweighed the credit. So now, what do? You need to settle this. Right? So, okay, I have so much to settle that, and so much to settle that, and so much to settle that. Oops, but I've still got so much debt. How do we know that we're in debt? How do we know the soul is in debt? Uncomfortable, disturbed, not stable. Depressed, peaceless, restless, unhappy, not content. The soul doesn't have, it's not full. You see? A full soul won't have these feelings or will have them very scarcely. So now what do? I've got this Actually, it's more than that. Okay? So imagine if you were in debt, practically, right, in your bank, if you were in debt, what would you do? What are the steps you would take? Yeah, you need to get more credit. So how do you start getting more credit? Okay, more credit, right? So more credit on a spiritual, in a spiritual way, what would you do? Good, services, doing good deeds, so more positive karma, right? Positive karma is karma that is based on those qualities, on those virtues. That's positive karma. Remember those virtues I wrote here? Purity, kindness, peace, benevolence, mercy. Every action done with a positive virtue is a positive karma. Okay, so you're adding, right, you start. Oh, but it's still not enough. So what do you have to do? That's one. Two, you have to stop spending. Yeah. So, yes, yeah, start saving. Stop spending. Yeah. Time, right? Okay, fine. Start saving, stop spending, which means I cannot afford now to create a negative karma. I can't afford to give somebody sorrow because my soul is already in debt. You see? So I have to be more attentive. I have to be more cautious. What am I saying? How am I saying it? What is my intention behind what I'm doing? Because I may do a good deed, but again, my intention may not be pure. That's polluted that seed, right? Polluted that action. So, yeah, be careful. More attention. Stop spending. Three, collateral. C-O-L-L. Collateral. You know what is collateral? When you have something, right, that the bank takes over. You know collateral? Translators, you know collateral? Okay, so you have a lot of debt. So the bank says, okay, give us your house. And we will hold on to that till you pay off something. Or we'll give you a loan if we can take hold of your house, okay? Rahan. Anyway, what this means in a spiritual language is your mind, your body, your possession. Okay? What is happening with mind, body, possession is you are settling through the mind, the body, or things. Say something gets stolen from you, or something gets damaged. In fact, I was ironing a sari this morning and got burnt. So I'm one sari down. I don't know what karma that is, but that's fine. I settled that karma. Mind. Huh? How what becomes? Okay, the fact that this happened to me, again, I'm not analyzing it too much, but all I'm saying is the fact that this happened to me where I cannot use that anymore. I cannot use that item anymore. I'm one short of that item. So that might be a test for me. Am I attached to that thing? Has it spoiled my stage because some damage has been done? Okay, sorry is nothing. What about your BMW? Yeah? See, or your laptop was stolen. How did you feel? Yeah. Because of the attachment. Why is it happening to me? Why was my laptop stolen? Okay? So things and body. I break a leg or, you know, I lose my eyesight or something's happening to the body. I'm settling. When I say collateral, I am settling my karma through my mind, my body, all my things, my possessions. So the attitude we create is, if that happens, then I just say, okay, I am settling. Don't think about where this started, where it's going to end, why it happened, why would this... Don't need to analyze that anymore. Because now I believe, you know what, it's a settlement. I've settled it. Om Shanti. Yes. Yeah, that's the body. Or illness through the mind. Some people are constantly depressed, moody, you know. This is settlement through the mind. Now, that doesn't mean to say if I'm moody, I keep saying, oh, I'm settling. That's not how you should see this. Because we want to settle in the... We want to settle our karma with love, which is what we are trying to do. If we settle our karma with love, then we don't feel the pain. You see? Actually, not just the pain, the sorrow. There's a difference between pain and sorrow. Pain is in the body and sorrow is in the soul. Right? You saw the example of Sister Vijaya. She's settling a lot of karma, but she's doing it with love. She's not suffering. We don't see her suffering. Never in these last 6 months have I seen her suffer. Her soul is in great spirit. So you can be settling, but not suffering. And again, I've seen this with the Dadis. I've known Dadi Janki, as you heard. I've lived with her for so many years. Many times, she could have left her body. She was that sick. But you know, there's a funny story. We would go in to make her feel good, you know? Take her flowers and take her some fruit and cheer her up. She's not the one who's sick. She's the one who cheers us up. That's how much energy she has. So you see the difference when the soul is really, in their power, they're strong. Okay? So that's collateral. Okay, fourth. This is a nice one. So I've got all this debt to pay. What's the easiest way I can pay off this debt? Cash, from where? Inheritance, connections, my rich uncle or my rich dad, he comes along and says, hey Aruna, I'll pay off her credit card this month. And I'm very happy. No, it's not borrowing. It's not borrowing. He has given it to me. He's doing me this special favor. Yes. So fourth, again, how I interpret it, is my yoga. Is my connection with God. Right? My union, my quality of union with God. So God, for me, helps me from time to time and says, okay, Aruna, I'll help you with that. I'll make that easier. I'll make that lighter for you. So that cross is not as heavy to bear as it could have been. So this special help, this grace, you know, special blessings that we get from time to time, this also helps us to settle some of our karma. Sometimes when you are, you know, settling, you think, I couldn't have gone through this on my own. Don't you have that feeling? It's not me alone, it's, you know, some higher power that's helped me or is helping me. That's what I say, yoga. Yoga simply meaning union. You think of God and God's energy is there. God's power is there. Okay? So that makes your settlement lighter, easier to deal with. Okay? And last was the eight powers. Yes. Not hearing that? Yeah. Okay, well let me, okay, if I understood correctly, the brother's saying, If you've done something wrong, then you go to that person and you ask for forgiveness, and that is also settlement, yeah? I kind of disagree a little bit. Can I just share my thoughts? The equivalent example to that would be, I've just gone through the red lights, right? Just gone through the red lights, and the police guy comes and stops you and says, here's a ticket for $50, £50. And you say, oh, please forgive me. Is that going to work? But you broke the law. No, somewhere I'm saying the soul broke the law. See, every time we give pain to somebody, I've broken a law. That's why we say pain. No, I'm talking now about spiritual law too. Somewhere I've broken the law, which means I'm not acting out of my highest truth. I'm acting out of my lowest self. That's where I've broken the law. So sometimes the law cannot be fixed. I mean, I can't just settle it through forgiveness. It helps. Okay, this is what I would like to say. The level on which that karma was created, you have to settle it on that level. So if you have had negative thoughts about somebody, only thoughts, you have to start having positive thoughts. Start seeing them in a good light, in a bright light, okay? If I have said something about somebody, I have to apologize. I can't then sit and say, well, yeah, I've settled it in yoga with God. No, they're waiting for an apology. I have to, settle it. Third karma, if I have taken something from somebody, I have to return it or return something in lieu of that to settle that, to bring them some peace of mind. Do you see? So in that sense, yes, I have to settle it on those levels. But don't forget though, but somewhere where I have broken the law, I will have to pay some fine for it, even though it's a minor fine. Yeah? That's why it's the law of karma. It's also known as the law of karma. Yes. We have to break for tea. So last question, yeah? Ultimately, the real forgiveness, as I keep saying, I have to forgive myself because I didn't act, I wasn't the best, that wasn't the best of me acting out of me. I didn't do my best in that moment. I could have acted better. You know, we all know we can be nicer people, kinder people, loving people, more loving, more kinder, but I wasn't that in that moment. So ultimately, I have to forgive myself. Is it ready? Okay, maybe we'll stop here. We'll have to do the 8 powers another time. Okay, because after your tea, we have Dadi Ratanmani coming to see you, so I don't want to take that time away. So, thank you. So we're just going to have 1 minute in silence, and then tea is being served at the back out there, right? Parthiban? Tea out there? Yes. And how much time? 12:15? Can you come back at 12:15? Okay, so let's just end with a minute. So once again, we just go back to what we started with, that I am a peaceful soul. Every cell of your body is eavesdropping on your thoughts. So the more you tell yourself that you are a powerful soul, the more your cells become powerful. I'm pure, peaceful, positive, powerful, and purposeful.